It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And the U.S. Women's Amateur was played at beautiful Bandon Dunes last week. And how exciting that New Jersey's own Megha Gane took the title. It's just a most grueling week of play and competition. And here to tell us all about it is the champion herself, Megha Gane. Hey, Megha. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on winning the U.S. Women's Amateur title. What an accomplishment. Tell us about the week.
Ooh, it's super fresh. I'm just enjoying every second that's passed since I've lifted that trophy and trying my best to respond to all the messages I've gotten because I appreciate all the outpour of support in the last few days. It's incredible. Dream come true.
Well, it's so grueling when you really think about the format. You have to win two rounds of stroke play. Then the 64 players with the lowest scores move on to single elimination match play. Then a series of 18-hole matches, the quarterfinals, the semifinals. And then the championship match is played over 36 holes. That is so physically and mentally draining. It must be.
Yeah, you have to beat a lot of odds along the way. I think that's what makes winning this championship so difficult is like it's not just three or four rounds of stroke play, but it's the format changes in the middle. You have a new opponent every day. The golf course, especially Bandon, played different from day to day, especially from stroke play to match play. So there's so many variables and waking up every day and embracing all the challenges and playing 11 rounds of golf in that week. It is one of the most grueling things I've ever done.
Well, you look great. It doesn't look like it took too much out of you, but I know you beat three players ranked in the top 20. I remember Anna Davis from the Augusta National Women's Am, Carrie Hollenbaugh, Ayla Galitsky. Talk about some of your opponents that you beat.
Yeah. So I played Kiara's older sister in the first round, and I had never played golf with her, so... that was a good match. I was up early and then she made a little bit of a run on the back nine. So kind of got the juices flowing, was able to close that one out, I think on the 16th or 17th hole. And I was looking ahead at the bracket and I knew I was going to play Anna. And she's actually probably one of my closest friends out there. So I wasn't too excited about that matchup, but just reminded myself that we're both there to do a job. And she played great. She's a great competitor. I don't think I've ever like been less happy winning a match afterwards, going to hug her after the round. But she did come to watch me play in the round of 16 after that, after she lost. So, I mean, that just goes to show that her support and friendship, outweighs all the competition, which was pretty special. And then I played Carrie, who I have also never played with, and she was an incredible player. And then Ella as well. And Ella was probably one of the toughest components, I mean, opponents I had, if not the toughest opponent I had the whole week. I was blown away by her golf game, and I felt like I just had to grind in every single match. And by the time I made it to the final match, I felt really confident in my abilities. And I think how tough it was to get to that final match gave me a little bit of peace of mind in playing in the final.
That's right, because in that semifinal match against Ella Scaisbrook, it was an epic rally, right? You were down by what? Do you remember?
I was down four.
Down by four.
I was down four through nine, won the 10th hole, so I thought I was starting to come back. Then she won the 11th, so I was four down again. And I knew that those holes get just really windy. And I knew one advantage I had is that I had played the 14, 15, 16, 17th hole in my prior matches, and I knew that her matches were closing out before then because she was winning on earlier holes. So I knew I might have the upper hand of knowing how those holes play better in the wind because they are the toughest holes in the golf course. So I tried to keep that in mind and stay patient and hope for an opening. And she gave me a couple, which I was able to capitalize on, and then made some birdies and yeah, just never gave up. And a match was able to go to 19 holes.
Unbelievable. And then, as you say, you get to your championship match, 36 holes. You never trailed But the match was tied after 9 against Brooke Bierman, the Michigan State grad. What are your thoughts on your final 36?
The final 36 was surreal. I think that's the moment it hit me that I am playing for the title, and I let my mind wander a bit to what the outcome would be, which, probably isn't a great thing, but it worked out well in the end. And yeah, it was very tough. I definitely felt like I was in the driver's seat the whole day, but at the same time, it was never too comfortable. My biggest lead was only my own only 3 up, which is really nothing, and that could disappear in a moment in match play. So just never took my foot off the pedal and tried to match the birdies that Brooke started to make in the second round, and was able to hold on to that lead.
And what was it like playing at Bandon Dunes? Just the surroundings are so gorgeous and inspiring. I remember playing there, and of all the courses there, Bandon Dunes was my favorite.
It's so stunning. It genuinely was heaven on earth. I was blown away in the practice rounds. I almost shed a tear during one of my stroke play rounds looking out at the ocean, because I couldn't believe that this is what we get to call, like, kind of a job, and we're here in literally the best place ever. And Bandon was such a gracious host, and all the people who work there were so nice and welcoming, and they were really excited to be hosting all of the women that week. Yeah, highly recommend as a trip for anyone looking to go. I'd definitely love to go back and play the other courses there.
Yeah, it's just a special place in our own country. A lot of times you have to go to Ireland or Scotland to experience,
It doesn't
you know.
really feel like it's in the US. It feels.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you're only 21. This was your 7th U.S. women's amateur. And it took some time to learn the ropes, right, Mega? I mean, you know, last year you got food poisoning and had to withdraw before the first round. So you paid your dues for sure.
Yeah, I feel like I have. I've played in a lot of these. That doesn't always translate to a lot of success. I feel like I've played good golf at USGA Championships before. But, never was able to play all the US juniors that I wanted. And I even got disqualified from my final one because of like a scorecard mishap. And then the USAM, a lot of first round eliminations, and then last year had to withdraw last minute. And yeah, it felt like I didn't have many, like, real full opportunities to give this tournament a go. And I had a good feeling going into this week, and it's probably my last one, so
Oh.
it's perfect timing.
Well, you'll be a senior, right, at Stanford?
Yes.
And so, how does your Stanford University play experience? I know the team won the 2024 NCAA title. Does that college golf experience play into your win here at the U.S. Women's AM?
I mean, Stanford is a huge part of my journey so far, and I was actually at Stanford the week leading up to the AM, just practicing, because it is the best practice facility in the world. I think just the excellence that I'm surrounded there by for the last few years is an environment that cannot be recreated elsewhere, and something I'm really going to miss when I graduate. My teammate Paula, watching her win the British Amateur and the European Ladies Championship both in one summer, definitely raised the bar for me a little bit, and maybe gave me a little bit of extra motivation, and I'm sure everyone else on our team as well. But there's always someone doing something great in our team, which adds the best type of pressure to go out there and elevate your own game. So, I think Stanford's really cool in that way.
And I know you have a win against Lottie Woad while playing for Stanford. And as you know, my audience knows, Lottie won her first LPGA Tour title in her very first tournament as a professional. That must have really boosted your confidence.
Yeah, I did. It was like, it was a really special match. I had a lot of respect for her as an opponent, and seeing her do so well now over the summer, and knowing that my game was able to rival hers and just barely edge her out in the end in that match was really cool. And just playing the world number one is a really, really special feeling, and you look forward to days like those where you could challenge your game against the very best. And to come out with a win, especially during the national championship, was really, really cool. So that's been one of the highlights of my year. And yeah, she's absolutely killing it, and I hope to follow in her footsteps here, like when I turn pro.
I love that. I love that. Well, take us back. When did you first start playing golf?
I started playing golf when I was 7. My dad would take me to the driving range, and he was a pretty casual golfer. And he signed me up for different programs, and then eventually started playing golf tournaments at 8 and 9 years old, and stuck with it. I did a bunch of other sports too, but felt like golf was the one that stood out to me. And then, yeah.
And when did you meet Katie Rudolph?
Also, when I was 7,
Oh.
she spotted me on a driving range and. And swept me up, and I have not wanted to see what anyone else since. She's an incredible elite golf coach and has curated my golf game since the beginning. And yeah, I'm excited to continue my journey with her.
Great scout of talent. She just saw you playing out there when you were 7.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love it. Were you just a natural talented golfer, or what, were you hitting long balls off the tee, or what do you think made her think that you were really going to have this talent?
You know, I have no idea because I think I was shooting like 65 on 9 holes at the time. So I don't know what type of natural talent she saw in that, but I guess she had an eye for something.
I love that. Well, I first met you and Katie at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. You competed in the drive, chip, and putt national finals at Augusta National 4 times, and then the Augusta National Women's Am. What have your experience at Augusta National taught you? Because you've been there probably longer than anybody at such an early age, and to have the experience playing Augusta National in front of, such a huge audience, that must have really kind of helped you learn how to play under such pressure.
Yeah, 100%. I think anyone who plays in that final round can tell you, and even in the first few rounds, that the pressure of that tournament, having to make that 30-person cut and then play a competitive round at Augusta National, that pressure is pretty crushing when you first experience it. And I haven't felt a lot like it throughout my career, and learning to get better at handling that and still playing your own golf game through all those emotions and adrenalines and highs of being at Augusta National competing for that title, has really taught me how to, best utilize my mental toolkit for other tournaments that I play. So, it's an incredible tournament, and it sets a great spotlight on a lot of really good female amateurs. And I think players and fans are alike for that tournament to take place, because it's a pretty cool week.
Well, you already said you want to turn pro. So I guess I was going to ask you, what's next for you? Would you like to play on the LPGA Tour? And if so, when do you think you would turn pro?
Yeah, that is definitely the next step. My first next step is having a great senior year at Stanford, taking in my last year of being in college, spending time with my friends, having a great fall and spring season, hopefully winning another national title for Stanford. And then after that, I will likely turn pro, but I'm going to focus on what's ahead of me first.
Yeah, you really want to have fun your senior year, and tell us what your training and your golf practice is like at Stanford. Does it consume your life? Do you have time, obviously, for studies? You need to at Stanford, right?
Yeah, it does not consume my life at all. I wish it would, but I have a lot of other things to do when I'm at Stanford throughout the day, like classes and work to do. So, I wish I could play more golf than I actually get to during the school year, but it all works out, and there is enough time in the day to feel like I can have it all, the social life and the school and the golf. Just takes a little bit of like hard work with that balance, but yeah, it's the greatest practice facility on earth, and if I could spend every minute there, I would.
And what is the key to that balance, would you say, Megas, as young girls look up to you and think, how does she do that? How can she play such great golf and do well in her studies and have a healthy social life? What is the key to balancing all that?
I think the key is definitely that not trying to do all three at the same time. prioritizing one bucket or two at a time, you know, whether that's day to day or week to week, or even if you just want to dedicate 1 month to, I want to put golf on the back burner and just think about my real life for a bit, or the other way around. You know, checking in with yourself and being like, what do I need right now and what do I want so I can actually maximize whatever it is that I want to focus on, whether it's a couple of classes or my short game. Because you're never gonna have it all the time, because that's just impossible. But I think like learning to fill those buckets week in, week out, seeing what you need. And then that's how I strike a balance.
And what can you tell us, Mega, about the depth of talent, the level of competition out there among the college golfers? The competition seems to get stiffer and stiffer by the moment from what I see, but you're in it. So how do you view it from perhaps your even before you became a freshman at Stanford and now as far as the level of the game in college golf?
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous, which is a really good thing. That's what you want. You want people to bring out your absolute best, and you want the best competition. Girls are hitting it farther and farther every year, which has motivated me to try to become a longer hitter. I mean, the scores just get lower at tournaments, and I think there's so many more players shooting lower scores. And even if you look at this year's Augusta National Women's Amateur, and there was so many, every single player who made the cut was under par, which is unheard of. And after two rounds, you had to be at least 5, 6, 7, 8 under to be in contention. So I think it's just a new level that we're all bringing out in each other, and the future of women's golf is definitely very bright. And I think we're seeing that with you know, Lottie right off the bat, I think is a great representative of the best of our college players going out and making that next step, and even seeing Maya Stark win the US Open was really cool because she's in our age range as well. So yeah, I'm excited for everything to come for college golf talents to be on display.
Well, what a title to have on your resume, U.S. Women's Amateur Champion. And that trophy is gorgeous, isn't it? It's just so ornate and so beautiful.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. I'm stalking the tracking number on that to my house to see when it's arriving. I'm excited to look at it every day.
Well, all of New York, the Met Golf section is very proud of you. New Jersey, the Stanford, the entire country. Congratulations, Mega Gane. Continued success, and really appreciate you being on Talking Golf.
Thank you so much, Anne.